when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all right with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Friday morning, 6:12. How are you? Show number 828 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Text and call at 312-981-7200. We're going to do the show long slash contest text question today with something we haven't done in a long time. That almost happened.
Oh, no.
That almost happened. You know how that almost happened worked. You call in, and or you should say text in. You texted something that almost happened. I almost met somebody famous. I almost got that job promotion. I almost won the lottery. I almost did this. I almost made a half-court shot last night at Northwestern. Almost.
That would have been mine because you were so close.
If that gust of wind hadn't come up from that side.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens because that's you were shooting towards the lake.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I couldn't believe they opened the doors right before I went out to shoot.
Yeah, that was not
just
fair.
Like at the Pontiac Silverdome. They used to do that.
What an effort, though. I mean, you really.
Yeah, how do you feel today?
You know what? You know what's funny? You know what's funny about what an effort? That's essentially, if you summed it up, that was a participation ribbon shot. That was the.
I heard net. I heard net.
Did you pull something?
Yeah, but not until I got home. The estimates range from 3 to 7 to 8 or 9 feet short, but right on line.
You
right?
Were, no question.
Right on
the
line.
The trajectory, perfect. Perfect.
Here's what I said to Russ, who was texting me. I said, half court's far.
Yeah, it is.
Half court's far.
But, and I could think Dave could back this up. It was a sellout crowd last night. People came just to watch you make that shot.
I think some of them came for the Northwestern basketball team on this incredibly hot streak, and they came back to beat Nebraska. But no, the crowd was great. And I heard, I don't know that I heard booing.
No, I don't think you got booed.
Mm-mm.
I was a little disappointed in that.
I heard some people, actually, they were concerned about you.
I actually heard Sandberg boo.
I think I heard that, too.
Yeah.
But that was for a whole other reason.
Wait, what did you say, Steve? People are concerned about me.
I heard
me.
Some people saying they were concerned about you. Just a little
my feelings?
No, just that. Are you okay? Because you missed it by that
his
much.
His mental state?
What do you mean missed it by that much? I think you told me it was close.
Well, it was close, but like that much.
It really wasn't that close. Yeah.
How could you tell from where you were?
I was filming it, and no, you, I posted the video.
You were, your perspective was not in a position where you could tell.
Well, I was in the right area.
Yeah, and you said 7 feet short.
I said 10.
Oh, you said 10.
But it was right online. I will give you
online,
that.
Yeah.
10 feet short? Really, 10?
No.
Oh, definitely.
There's video.
Oh, I'm going to need a measurement.
All the Northwestern people were telling Steve how it was such a great shot, and it was so close.
Well, what are they going to tell him?
My stepdaughter is like... Did they see where it actually went?
That's what Catherine said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was hilarious. I said, wasn't that good? And she looked at me, she went, not really. She literally did it.
By
so
the way,
cute.
Tell everybody what young Patrick said.
Last night when I tucked in Patrick and I was heading down the hall, he screamed out, hey, Mary, could you tell Steve Cochran, nice try and keep practicing?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Maybe you should go to Patrick's practice because Patrick actually made a half-court shot the day before.
Well, that's why I'm announcing my retirement from humiliation. I'm announcing, you know, listen, at some point you have to accept that, you know, you're 55 years old and, you know, some of the things you do best now are sit. So I'm going to be very careful on what I say. Yes, I'm not taking any calls from Sandberg ever.
No.
That's one of the things I'll be doing.
Yeah, that's smart.
But I'll be very careful on what I say yes to going forward.
I don't know. They got something special planned for football.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, man.
I'm ready to go for football.
You know how golf and most sports are mental games?
I'll meet anybody on the golf course right now. Let's go.
Did it hurt your chances at all, you think, by... Well, there was kind of a mean little video message right before you shot.
I got to say... Dave Bennett was hilarious. I did not see it coming.
Wow.
There was a video before. It was almost like I had died and it was a tribute at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And little did I know, my death was still to come just seconds from there. Mm-hmm. But what a good crew, too, at Northwestern. You know, we thought this thing was going to be a halftime. This was at a timeout where you've got a limited window, and they got us out there, took the shot. They were completely freaking out, but no pressure. And the kid, what's the kid's name?
Weston.
Weston's going to be on later this morning. Weston could have won $10,000 if I made this shot, which I'm told by Jake was no more than 10 inches short. The station scraped up $250. I don't know where they got the money. It's not like we have that kind of cash sitting around.
Petty cash. No, and I think Jackie withdrew it from her personal account.
Well, I matched it. And then I didn't have a 10, so the kid got 260.
He was so happy, though.
He could have dug out a 10 out of that bag. That's really nice. He got $500.
$510 for a college
kid. The kids
kid.
Were talking about it on the way home. They're like, so the $10,000 would have gone to tuition, but he got, they got 250. But they're like,
right.
Catherine's like, you can do whatever you want with that. It's almost better. Like, she felt it was a better
deal. That's like
deal.
A lot of pizza.
I hope he was a score.
In the words of Catherine, let me just pass this on. Not really.
One of the best parts, too, was in the crowd, me and Grisanage, we were sitting to the left of Mary and the kids, and you could literally see the bag of cash like coming out of her purse.
Know,
she's got two little kids.
Like a drug dealer out with the kids.
I did tell her a couple times, tuck it in, Mary.
Did you post that picture? That was a funny picture
did,
of you holding up the bag.
Yeah, it was in like a Ziploc so you could see all the cash. Yeah.
Well, he seems like a great kid.
He was a great kid.
This student.
I liked his sweater.
But I think we need to do a well-being check Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, because you give a college kid $510 on a Friday night.
Did he get home okay? Did someone like escort that kid home?
That's true.
He
did have a lot of cash.
Yeah.
He was followed by three of the cheerleaders.
Oh,
so
yeah. They were
night.
After him.
Holding
so.
Big heads, by the way. Very cute.
Anyway, thank you to Northwestern and everybody there. And Dave, you called another exciting win.
It was an exciting win. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming out. I know it was a late night, but appreciate it.
Everybody had a good time.
I got home really quick.
I had a great time.
Not so much getting there.
I will say, with you doing it not at halftime, like during a timeout, with all the players still on the floor, they're sitting there like getting plays and things. They don't look all that amused with the little spectacle going on, little fun stuff. I noticed.
Many of them turned around and said, "Could you show me the shot, Steve? I'd like to see the technique."
The Nebraska team, I felt, looked very. They were kind of like glaring.
Actually, Coach Chris Collins said, "Go out and show them what you have, but make sure Nebraska watches. I want that in their head the rest of the week."
In the words of Catherine. Not really.
You know, Coach.
That's going to be the catchphrase.
We'll hear it later, but Coach had some advice for you in the pregame show.
Don't come back to Welsh Ryan Arena?
No. He loves having you there.
Congratulations, Northwestern. If they're not in the poll this week,
they got another game Sunday night. Big game, big test. The defending Big Ten champs, Indiana.
I say they beat Indiana, but even without that Indiana win, they ought to be top 25 in the country. They're that good. So
they are good. They
very
are good.
Exciting to watch this team.
And if you get a chance to get to a Northwestern game, you ought to do it. We'll come back. Well, actually, let me just run through the top six at six. I don't want to shortchange this, but let me give you the top six at six right now.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGNS.
I expressed my disappointment at Governor Rauner's State of the State the other day and a lack of urgency and a little too much kumbaya. Lisa Madigan may have been listening because... The Attorney General has stepped up and said, I'm suspending or making a court effort to suspend state employees' pay until everybody gets serious about this. Now, she cited the governor's lack of urgency. I would say that the man who is the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, is also the problem. Trump chief advisor Steve Bannon tells the media to shut up in a New York Times interview. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Now that Mexico has blown off Donald Trump, will other countries do the same? That's a big question today. And after the prime minister of Great Britain leaves, you know what Trump's got on the schedule for tomorrow? A little BFF call with Putin. Vladdy and Don tomorrow on the phone. Can you see Putin twisting the cord as he, you know, and then playing with his hair? Hawks hit into the All-Star break, needing a break after getting thumped by Winnipeg again last night. The Jets just have their number. It's ridiculous. Was it 5-3?
5-3. But you know what's troubling is this tendency they've developed to give up two quick goals,
yep, back-to-back.
They did it again.
Yep. And Darling was in net because a lot of people thought Crawford was hitting a weak spot here, but Darling couldn't get it done last night either. And as we said, Northwestern won. Lou's first call is next. You want to be first in line to ask Lou a question and not wait till tomorrow morning? Call me now, 312-981-7200. I am Steve, participation ribbon Cochran. The ribbon's purple, and we're back after this.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Lou Manfredini.
Morning.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Hi, buddy.
How are you?
So I got a text from Lou last night. He goes, I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm sitting here at the Hawks game. I look up, and they're on the Zamboni. David Hochberg.
Right. Stop it. Right.
Did he steal it?
I don't know. He wasn't driving it. He was just sitting on it.
So he was in the little kid seat in the back, smiling like a fool?
He was. He was talking to the driver.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny?
Did he somehow have Pearl Mortgage on the side of the Zamboni?
He did not, but he kept screaming, interest rates are low, interest rates are low. I don't know that people could hear him, but I could see what I was reading his lips.
Tremendous. And, you know, Hochberg will be in here later. He's got a cool podcast idea that we're going to do.
Oh.
And that'll be after 9 o'clock.
I'm a little sad, Steve.
About the miss shot.
Wow.
That's not your number
one
concern.
We were texting about that, although you did use the word it was majestic.
It was majestic.
Just,
I thought the way it arced almost within 5 feet of the hoop, I thought the way it fell to the ground right. Represented America's sadness after the first week of Trump. I thought it was very poetic.
I bet you have a lot of respect when you see these players launch those things up where they go so far and you're like, how can they do that?
Yeah. Yeah, do a talk show. Try that. No, we had a good time, and as I said, I got a purple participation ribbon.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
You know, there you go.
Good
yeah.
for you.
And afterwards, I called my mom, woke her up, and said, "You have to take me to Dairy Queen
for a dipped cone."
And she said, "Lose the number," and she hung up. Let's jump to the first caller. That would be James, standing by. James, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing fine. What's your problems, James?
Well, it seems like at the end of the year, or even now, we've had this, what I think is a new arrival, stink bugs. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
That was Lou's nickname in college, stink bug. Stink right. bug Manfredini.
Where are you getting them? They're relatives of bed bugs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where are they?
Everywhere from the attic down. Yeah. Seems like they came in, I don't know, I was up in the attic and I had to put some boxes away for Christmas holidays, and then I opened up a box and there was one inside that.
Right. difficult to eradicate. They're not bed bugs, but they are relatives. What the trick of the trade is something called boric acid, and it's a powder you can buy in a jug at the hardware store. And in the areas where you see them or evidence of them, you sprinkle this as a means for them to go over the top of this and pick it up onto their ectoskeleton. And as they walk around and walk on top of each other, this ends up eliminating the stink bugs. But you have to stay on it and keep it fresh. So probably once a week you have to pay attention to if you see any evidence of them walking across the little trail of boric acid that you put down and reapply.
Okay.
All right, James, I hope that helps. Now, here's what you're going to get. He sounded great, didn't he, Lou?
Did.
Didn't he sound thrilled?
He did.
Yeah.
I was excited.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
Everybody should have one of those.
You know, we always get the text messages afterwards. So
right.
For people that want to go to, say, an Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, if the first couple of Ace Hardwares that come to mind for you, Lou, would be where?
You know, there's one in Mary's hometown in Villa Park.
Okay, I hear that's a good one.
It's a nice one. It's at St. Charles and Villa Road.
It's right, the best.
It's, yeah. And it's right next to a fabulous bakery.
Yeah.
Cuppies.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they put some kind of drug in the donuts because you can't stop eating them.
Oh, and they're cupcakes. Oh. Unbelievable.
And then what would another one be?
Well, I mean, if you traveled, say, to the northwest side of the city, right near where that water main break was, there's a place in Edgebrook called Edgebrook Ace Hardware.
The great news is if you're in an Ace Hardware and there's a water main break, you got a bunch of mops, sponges, and other things
pumps,
to protect you.
Shop vacs all in stock, ready to go. Yeah.
And you have free popcorn. There is nothing
popcorn
better
is
than free popcorn.
Oh, my gosh, the popcorn is
By the way, you know, Lauren, my daughter-in-law, her dad is a boss type at Ace Hardware.
Oh, is he? A muckety muck?
Yeah, at the corporate office.
Really?
And has some nice things to say about Lou, too, by the way.
Don't tell him about me.
You know, I didn't know this till I talked to him. And Lou, you could back me up on this. If you own an Ace Hardware, by law, you have to hire a man named Elmer.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's difficult because that's not a name that...
It's not that popular anymore.
No, we're searching and searching.
There's a limited supply of Elmers.
And Eugene. So that's the secondary one.
Eugene, Eugene as well. Did not know that.
Right.
Any whiny staff questions? Any whiny staff questions at all? Anybody got an issue? Let me get you one text in here. 815-LOU. Mold growing on my wooden windows in my 3-year-old home.
Mm.
Too much moisture builds up when it's super cold.
Yeah.
How do I clean it off?
There's a terrific cleaner called Concrobium, which is everybody runs to bleach when they see mold. And the thing is that the bleach does not do well on porous surfaces. And so Concrobium is a mixture of a cleaner. You're going to spray it on. You're going to allow it to dry. Then you're going to wipe away the mold residue, and then you spray it one more time, and there's residual value with this cleaner. And it kills the mold down to the roots and really does a nice job.
Steve, the fake media got it wrong. You actually made the shot. It was amazing. It was huge.
Sounds like an alternate. That's an alternate fact. I like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what I heard. That's what they put up on the Hawks scoreboard up there.
Did they break into Hawks game? They stopped the game?
This quick thing. Yeah. Let's take a look. Let's go over to Welsh Ryan Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Bennett has the call.
Steve Cochran would normally be here after sponging tickets from the Hawks, but tonight he's busy. And I don't know if this is a good idea for a show or if this is just admiration, but it says Kenosha Housewives Heart Lou.
Oh.
Because I think the Kenosha Housewives would be a heck of a reality show.
Can I tell you something? I was just in Kenosha this week for a meeting.
I'm guessing
and
that's
Kenosha
what this
has
came
it
from.
All going on.
Yeah.
It really is a great town.
Yeah.
K-Town.
The Kenosha Housewives.
Yeah, I like that. I'm moving up there.
You're on TV now, aren't you?
I'm going to in a few minutes.
All right, go hug people.
Love you.
See you, bud. Thanks. Lou Manfredi. Big story next. 720 WGN.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same?
They say we're young and we don't.
There's a love theme from Springfield.
Well, I don't know while that's true, 'cause you got me, baby, I got you.
And the Attorney General weighs in. Let's go to Pat Brady, an expert on Springfield. He goes there so we don't have to. Good morning, sir.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm fine. And you owe me $100.
Oh, did you get beyond the... How'd it go?
I'll tell you what, just make a $100 donation to any charity you want.
I will, but I got to see. I have evidence. I don't. You got to give me proof.
Andrea?
Did somebody tape it?
Pat, I'm going to say he came really, really close. The trajectory was right
and
on.
And dead online, baby.
I would say.
That was my goal. I didn't think he had the strength to get it that far. Did he get beyond the bottom?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
How is it I don't have the strength to get it that far, yet I outdrive you every time we play?
The net moved, Pat.
Well, that's not a big win out driving me, Steve.
Lisa Madigan's in the news. She says that Governor Rauner's inaction and the General Assembly's inaction needs a response. Now, we may remember that the outgoing, well, she's now gone. She's more than outgoing. She's gone. Leslie Munger shut down pay to the legislature. Lisa Madigan's going to court to shut down pay to state employees to get these guys off the dime.
Yeah, it's nice that she puts it on the state workers' back. I don't quite understand the politics here, but the point is if her dad would just come to the table and agree to a budget and not worry about politics and worry about the people of the state, we wouldn't have to do this, or she wouldn't have to do this, but I'm not exactly sure what she's thinking.
Yeah, well, I feel badly for the people that are just trying to do their job,
right.
But anything that ups the pressure on the do-nothing state legislature, all concerned about their own agendas. And the thing that I heard the other day, Pat, I don't know if you were even aware of this, But one of the reasons the Senate couldn't move on the deal on Monday was because somebody was arguing that privatizing school janitorial services might be dangerous to kids. Really?
Yeah, you see how ugly politics is when you actually roll out a plan that maybe people, everybody could agree to, and then the special interests and other groups get involved, and the people just back out and say stupid stuff like that. I don't know. It's going to be painful no matter what they do, but they need to get it done. But what I don't get is her doing this, because it does hurt state workers. I don't think it's a good move, and it's not their fault. And it does up the ante, but why not just up the ante by putting the pressure on her dad, who's the one that's holding it all up?
Yeah, is there any evidence that she, listen, I don't even like to bring her dad into it, because I like to think of them as separate entities, but certainly when they talk, does she, based on what you know, does she say to him, so you're aware I'm going to do this, or does she do it separately?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't invite me to dinner, but I know, believe it or not, I know that they are a lot closer in how this running the state than people actually think or know. And I don't agree. I don't think she's that independent of her dad, or otherwise she'd be doing public corruption investigations, which she doesn't do. But I just don't like putting it on state workers' backs. There's other ways to do it. And again, if her dad would just put politics aside and worry about the people of the state, we'd have a deal.
Yeah, but you guys, Susana Mendoza has already said that she's not going to pay lawmakers if this continues. We have been going.
But if this continues, meaning what? What's the end line?
We've been going through the same thing. We passed the 6-month thing. So this was to force the hand of, because this, it was filed in St. Clair County, where they're operating on a stopgap budget of their own. Basically, the government can continue working there. So there's really no motivation now to pass this. We're going to just keep going through these meetings and the four tops, and you know, everybody shares the blame.
That's so become the new way of doing business in Springfield. Yeah, having meetings about maybe doing
absolutely
something.
I almost think this is a reverse psychology move to force their hand to finally come up with a budget.
Well, you know the law, Pat. Is there any chance a judge will approve this?
You know, I don't know it well enough to tell you. I don't know. I'm sure she can. The legal system takes time anyway, unless some kind of TRO, something fast, but it would take some time. But Andrew, I respectfully disagree. It's not the four tops problem, because President Tillerson, the Democrat, and Christine Rodonio, the leader in the Senate, are actually working towards a budget. Madigan will not agree to anything. He will not. The governor's come from 44 things he wanted down to 2. He won't agree to anything. It's all about politics. It's all about him keeping his seat. That's the problem, and everybody knows it. That's down there a lot. But
well, I also think it's personal hatred for Rauner too at this point, because there, whatever end game Madigan, the alleged great strategist, has, whatever goodwill he has outside of his own district, he's washing all that away. His legacy is going to be as one of the worst politicians in the history of Illinois, and as Illinois' decay kicked in the last 10 years, he was driving the bus. That's his story.
I agree, and it's weird, because I love Springfield, but it's not that nice. I don't know why he feels that being Speaker or having this power is that important, but this is the status quo versus change. And for the first time, the taxpayers are actually represented down there, and that's what leads to all the stuff like what Lisa Madigan's doing or did yesterday.
Yeah, and this is why term limits is a legitimate discussion, because at some point, somebody doesn't know it's time to leave the party. And I don't mean the Republican Party. I mean the party.
Yeah, I'm not blaming the Democrats for where we are. It's both sides are responsible for it, but now Madigan's the one holding it up. But you see what he did to Scott Drury, the state representative in his caucus that voted present, didn't vote for him, punishing him.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Look, I don't want state employees to suffer, but I want something to be done. You and I disagree on the governor's speech the other day. I think there is a lack of urgency, but I hoped, and I don't know that it's true, but I hope that Rauner was not lighting a fire because he thought something would be done in the Senate in the next couple of days. Are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah, they are working on it. But as you said just a minute ago, a lot of the special interests are now speaking up on things they don't like. Republicans don't like the tax increases. Democrats don't like some of the reforms. But I think the definition of compromise is everybody's mad when you have a deal. And that's what's got to happen. And we're going to have some kind of revenue increase.
Yeah, do we have any grown-ups there? How could you be $150 billion underwater and people down there think, well, don't touch my stuff? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think if they threw term limits in there, we'd probably have a deal or some kind of deal. But they won't even agree to that, which I think 85% of the state supports.
Well, again, regardless of personal feelings and professional feelings about Lisa Madigan, something extreme has to be done. And if this is just a move to get it in front of a judge and it scares some people, maybe it's the right thing. We'll see. Thanks for paying up on your $100.
Hey, where do I send it?
I said just pick a charity.
Just send it to me, Pat. I'll take care of it.
The Andrea Darlis Foundation.
All right, Rags of Honor. I'll send it there.
Rags of Honor. There you go. Perfect.
Man.
All right. Well, good. I think I beat it by a foot. It's 6:51. Mary Vandeveld's back. She has your traffic trouble spots right now. We don't spend a lot of times on Hawks losses, but we do want to thank, of course, Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Here's your Hawks Express.
The Winnipeg Jets beat the Blackhawks here tonight, 5-3.
Again, that's last night's Hawks Express. Quick note on the update on the Secret Service agent who said she wouldn't take a bullet for Trump. She has been expelled from the retired Secret Service agents group. Secret Service agent in charge, Kerry O'Grady of the U.S. Secret Service Denver office, is tasked with handling the advance team. This particular female agent said that she wouldn't take a bullet for Trump. It's an outrageous thing to say and a dangerous thing to say, because there are crazies out there constantly. And by having an agent say, I won't protect the president, you actually encourage that type of lunacy. She should be punished. At last word, she was being reassigned to Homeland Security. But it can't stand. And agents, retired and active, are incredibly upset about this. And they should be. Because regardless of how any Secret Service agent feels about the politics of the person they're protecting, the job is to protect. That's what you signed up for. If not, get another job. And I think this woman is not out of hot water yet, and I certainly don't know what her motives were. At 6:56, we'll come back and get you the news. And also, Ryan Nobles from CNN coming up. Get an update on the nonsense from Washington and beyond. This is 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I will build a wall.
We're going to build a wall. We will build a great wall.
We're going to build a great wall.
It's not a fence. It's a wall. You just misreported it.
And we're going to have a door in the wall.
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice. We have no choice.
I will build a great, great wall.
The wall just got 10 feet taller.
The wall just got 10 feet higher. How easy is that? It's going to happen, okay?
It's going to be a real wall. There's going to be a real wall.
It's going to be a real wall.
Who is going to pay for the wall? Who? 100%.
President of Mexico and myself have agreed to cancel our planned meeting scheduled for next week. Unless Mexico is going to treat the United States fairly, with respect, such a meeting would be fruitless, and I want to go a different route. We have no choice.
Wait, what happened to it's done? What happened to automatic? Nice job by Jake. Jake spends hours listening to those clips, puts them together beautifully, and then his head explodes. Yeah. 7:13, Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. Well, you know what you can't say about Trump? You can't say he's not busy. Oh, what a first week.
Yeah, that's definitely true, Steve. And at this point, he's done everything he promised us he was going to do, and then some. We'll just have to see in terms of these executive orders actually turning into some sort of tangible policy, which is the next big step, I think, for his administration.
CNN Washington correspondent Ryan Nobles watching all of this and all the various facets of the story. I was talking to my daughter about this. She's very politically savvy, and she made the point, and you and I have talked about it off the air, Andrea, and Ryan, you swim in this every day. Just when you think you've got to get some detail on one bit of craziness, something else happens, and then you got to chase that.
Yeah, and I think that's going to really be the big challenge for those of us that are going to be covering this administration for the next 4 years, is keeping our eye on the ball and really focusing on the important things that are happening with this administration. You know, we spent a lot of time the day after the inauguration, and actually it's still going on, talking about how many people were at the inauguration, talking about television ratings. And I don't know how much of this is really that important to what is actually going to happen in the Trump administration. And there's a good reason to believe that part of this is the kind of a bob and weave strategy by the Trump administration. You know, look at us complain about these things that aren't necessarily that important, while on the back end, we're working on a bunch of things that actually are really important. And that's going to be the job of us as journalists, to make sure that we're keeping an eye on everything going on in this administration, because while he's complaining about voter fraud, for instance, or how many people showed up to the inauguration versus how many people were at the Women's March versus how many people will be at the March for Life today, you know, there are significant, serious policy shifts that are happening with this administration as it relates to Mexico, as it relates to China, as it relates to all these other countries around the world. And that's really where those policy shifts are going to impact Americans on a day-to-day basis, much more than some fantasy concern that he has about voter fraud, of which there's no real evidence that it exists anywhere.
By the way, it's not China. It's China! Vice President Pence will speak at the March for Life today, which is pretty unusual. And for those of you who are wondering about Pence, he also was running ragged and doing an awful lot of work. So the administration is doing what they said they would do. They're working on their things. But this constant appeal to the base, they already have the base. They need to appeal to the people that didn't vote for him, which is the majority of Americans. When do you think that starts?
Well, I don't necessarily know if the administration would agree with that point, Steve. You know, I think you saw Steve Bannon, who is kind of the architect of the final third of the Trump campaign and has really kind of taken on an important role in his administration, the former CEO of Breitbart. This is a guy that really appeals to this kind of one third of the country that rabidly supports Trump. And he did an interview with the New York Times yesterday where he described those of us in the media as the opposition, and really believes that Trump needs to kind of double down on these policies that got him elected. I think that they believe that more of the country subscribes to Trump's view of the world and Bannon's view of the world than does not. And so while polls might show us that there's only really 35 to maybe 40% of the country that are hardcore Trump supporters, I think his administration believes that that number's a lot bigger. And regardless, they think those are the voters that came out and cast ballots, and those are the ones that they're going to cater to. So whether or not that works over the next 4 years, that remains to be seen. But there's no reason to think that they're going to do some sort of outreach to the rest of the country, you know, the millions of people that were marching in these women's marches all around the country that are certainly not only concerned but very afraid of what's going to happen in the Trump administration. I don't think that Steve Bannon and as an extension Donald Trump are necessarily concerned about those people. At least they haven't done anything at this point to demonstrate that they are.
Yeah, so Andrea, unity means as long as you believe what we believe.
Oh, absolutely. Ryan, he's already said he's waging a war with the media. He made the blanket statement calling everybody in the media dishonest. Bannon tells the press to shut up. I mean, this is not only unconstitutional, but it's dangerous. He needs the media to get the correct information out there. And I don't think he realizes that you have to tell the truth to get the truth out there.
Well, first, let me say, like, as a member of the media, I don't need anyone to stick up for me. I'm not concerned about Steve Bannon telling me to keep my mouth shut or that the Trump administration thinks that we're their opponents. I do believe that those of us as journalists absolutely do have to play somewhat of an adversarial role, because it's our job to be the checks and balance of the administration. So, you know, that I'm not worried about. You know, don't cry for me in terms of that. But your point is exactly right, Andrea. We have an important role in this process. Our job is to kind of cipher through the spin and all of the different information that's being put out there, the alternative facts, as has become the new coined term, and, you know, kind of establish for the American people exactly what's going on. So when you say, for instance, I think a good example of this, the job of the media is to say, oh, we're just going to slap a 20% tariff on goods that come in from Mexico. Well, I think if you're a manufacturer in the United States, or my brother-in-law works for a manufacturing company here in the United States, he thinks that's a great idea, right? Because that helps his company in terms of competition with Mexico. But when you're talking about a family that's trying to buy goods from Mexico, avocados, for instance, and you're talking about, guess what's not going to happen? They're not just going to absorb that cost, these companies that are exporting from Mexico. They're going to tack that on to whatever the cost of avocados are for the average American family. So Yeah, and there's nothing. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's my job as a member of the media to make sure you're aware of that, so that you can decide for yourself whether or not that's a good idea.
Mexico has blown off the president for a meeting next week. This is not a mutual decision. This is a decision by the president of Mexico, who, by the way, has a 12% approval rate. If he had actually taken this meeting, he may have been ridden out of town on a rail. But he's being cheered this morning because of his actions yesterday. And it's very rare when you see another world leader turn down a meeting at the White House, regardless of who's in it. Now, most recently, I remember Netanyahu turning down a meeting with Obama and almost right. sneaking into the country so he didn't have to meet with him. They famously disagreed on a lot of things, but it's rare. What does this do for our relationship with the rest of the world? And since Mexico did this, are other countries going to be more willing to say, yeah, I don't want to meet with you?
I mean, I think there's certainly a precedent being set here that the Trump administration is essentially saying to foreign leaders, unless you subscribe to our worldview, don't even bother coming and meeting with us. And that's why I think it's interesting seeing what's happening with the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, who isn't necessarily of the Trump view of the world, but understands that the relationship with the United States is going to be so important for Britain as they kind of navigate these Brexit waters, that she's kind of just going along with the Trump rhetoric. And, you know, the relationship with Mexico, I don't think, can't be understated. You know, as you said, Peña Nieto is underwater in terms of his approval rating. He's a very weak leader in that country right now. But the idea of kind of putting the United States against Mexico, you can't put it in the same prism of putting the United States against someone like China, a huge superpower. There is certainly an adversarial relationship there. Mexico is right across the border, a huge trading partner. Obviously, there are familiar relationships with many Americans and Mexicans. We need Mexico to be a somewhat stable environment to keep our country stable as well. And if the Mexican economy tanks, which theoretically could happen as this new trade policy goes forward by the Trump administration, that's not going to be good for the American economy. So,
well, the other thing too, Ryan, is we have a negative net migration from Mexico, and illegal aliens here, whatever the term of the moment is, are leaving this country in record numbers to go there. It's a 40-year low for illegals coming into this country. If the Mexican economy tanks, you're going to have folks there coming here to earn money to support their families. It's the exact opposite effect of what they want.
Yeah, I mean, if you truly are concerned about illegal immigrants coming into the United States, the best thing you could do is make it more desirable to live in Mexico. And the best way to do that would be to not create policies that, you know, destroy the Mexican peso, which is right now tanking. So, yeah, you're absolutely right by that. And I think that, you know, a lot of the talk about immigration kind of denies these kind of basic facts about, you know, the impact that immigration really has on the United States. You know, the one big thing that Trump talks about over and over again are criminal aliens that are, you know, sneaking over the border and destroying kind of American society. And, you know, I think we'd be naive to think that there aren't, of course, drugs and other problems pouring over the border. But when you look at it in terms of the entire group of people that are coming into the United States, it's actually a pretty small fraction. You know, the vast majority of people that are coming in are actually people that are contributing to the American economy in a positive way. So that's not to say that we shouldn't fix the immigration system. It certainly needs to be fixed.
No doubt.
But sometimes the Trump administration gets focused on the wrong things that aren't necessarily the kind of things that are going to lead to substantive change that's going to help people on both sides of the border.
It's Ryan Nobles at CNN. Where do we see you on social media?
Yep, Ryan Nobles. It's Ryan Nobles with one N, and that's where you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram, just about everywhere. Snapchat. Steve, you're big on Snapchat, right?
I'm a big Snapchat guy. Or as Bill Belichick said, Snapbook.
Snapface.
Face chat.
Yeah.
Snapface.
Yeah, yeah.
Instaface. Yeah.
I think Friendster is probably my number one right now. So.
Number one, you're big on that.
Big
yeah,
Friendster.
I've heard that, yeah.
So. All right, man, have a great weekend. See if you can keep up with Trump.
Thanks, guys. All right,
see you later.
Take it easy.
For a 70-year-old dude, man, he moves, right?
The Steve Cochran Show.
Go Cats.
Is a regulation basketball court 300-400 yards?
It's
about a half mile.
Probably felt that way, didn't it?
It's about a half mile. Isn't it a half mile?
It's 94 feet. And sorry.
Half mile would be about 2,000 feet.
Northwestern, fine athletic program at Northwestern University, and the great Jim Phillips, and Mike Polisky, and all their fine people, said, "Hey, Steve, come out, will you?" And I said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I'm shooting a half-court shot. Now, if the half-court shot goes in, a student selected randomly wins $10,000. What's that student's name?
Weston.
And is Weston coming on this morning?
Weston has not answered his phone yet this morning.
Oh, it's because his class is until 9. He won't be getting up for another hour.
He probably thought it was weird when I asked for his phone number. He gave me a fake number.
Row.
Hey, Weston.
Coach Chris Collins, prior to the game, had some tips.
Prior to the game on our pregame show.
I haven't heard this. Roll it.
Any advice for Cochran before he tries the half-court shot tonight?
Make sure you get your legs into it, because I don't want you to come up short. There's going to be a lot of ribbing if I see you get it halfway there.
Well, it was halfway. Please, not halfway.
Oh, you were more. You were you took three quarters of the way.
I like how you took a couple steps first to get into it. So
I stylized your legs into it. Yeah, yeah. I stylized. Plus, if you take a look at WGNRadio.com, you'll see my vertical leap of over an inch and a half.
It was great.
There's a whole gallery of it in video for listeners.
Yeah, well, let's not go crazy. Let's
good news for you is Chris had the whiteboard out, and he was talking to the team in the huddle.
Oh, I thought he was diagramming my shot.
Well, maybe he was.
He wasn't paying attention to the shot. What?
Here's the play-by-play as it happened with my friend Dave.
Today we're here with Steve Cochran from WGN Radio and Weston, who's a sophomore from the wild side here at Northwestern. Steve is going to shoot a half-court shot. If he makes it, Weston gets $10,000. But you know what? First, I need you to watch a video for me, okay?
Hey, Steve, just wanted to wish you good luck. I feel really good about your chances of making this shot. Well, I sort of feel good about your chances. Who are we kidding?
All right.
Mike drops and he walks off.
I know they believe in you, too. So let's hear it for Steve. He's going to make this half-court shot whenever you're ready.
Crowd went nuts.
We're ready.
Yeah. Crowd was bananas.
Was a little off the mark, but you know what? We do have a surprise for Weston. Weston's getting $250.
And because of that hideous performance, I'm going to match it with another $250.
So let's give Steve Cochran from WGN Radio and Weston a huge round of applause.
They were cheering.
There were no boos.
No boos.
The great danger of putting that during a timeout was it could have taken the momentum away from the game. The building was electric.
Oh, yeah.
And I think forcing everyone to watch that hideous display by me really could have ruined it for Northwestern.
That was a little off the mark.
And she's your friend. She's the one who's been stalking you for years.
Jen is great. Jen showed me a picture of she and I 20 years ago at in the old AM1000, the Loop AM, at a toga party. I think it was Kevin Matthews' toga party.
Oh,
station promotion.
First,
yeah, there you go. And she was wearing a toga. I wasn't wearing a toga. I had hair then.
This is a great picture. We should post that, too.
She doesn't look old enough now to have been around 20 years ago.
Yeah, neither do I.
Can we point out that I knew that you weren't going to make the shot, and I was right?
You did say that earlier.
You put some mojo on me. Actually, you know what? Because I'm more loyal to you than you are to me. I missed it intentionally.
You missed it for me, yeah. So thank you.
That was a little off the mark.
Yeah, she's supposed to be your friend.
And I want to thank Dave and Jim Phillips for setting up my purple participation ribbon that I got afterwards.
Well, you did hear our analysis on the air, did you?
Well, here we go for folks that missed it.
Out on the court, our friend Steve Cochran just attempted a half-court shot. He barely missed. All right, that might be a bit of an overstatement.
Well, he made it to the
foul line.
Yeah, got to the foul line. That about
it. I thought it was a pretty good effort. Good release. Coach Collins had mentioned he's got to get his legs into it.
Well, he needed more than his legs on that. Never mind. We'll leave him alone.
The whole crew from the Steve Cochran show out there. Andrea Darlis and Mary Vandeveld and producer Mary Sandberg Boyle and Mike Jakeson and who am I missing? Anybody else out there? Anyway, Steve gave it his all. He just came up a little bit short, but the student for whom he was shooting, who would have won $10,000 towards his tuition had he made it, still, I think, collected a nice little cash prize from Steve. So not too bad.
You made a positive out of a lousy shot.
What?
Wow. Joey's dogging you.
Joey's just killing me.
You know, when he's one to talk, remember we had the contest in here where we were shooting baskets and he missed all of them.
And he lost. Let me tell you something. I've always supported Joey Meyer.
Oh, I don't think he was not being supportive. Oh, he was just, it's his job.
Plus, I like the way you two are talking about it. Like, now he can go back to the home and they'll get him something nice.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the shout out.
Isn't it great that he's active?
Well, who am I to talk?
You know what, though? Catherine had a great point. This is, he probably would have wanted this. He has some spending money for the weekend. Weston.
Oh, yeah. My stepdaughter said that because they were there at the game and they were very excited to watch the shot that, the $10,000 had to go to tuition, but this cash that he got, he can do whatever he wants with it. Yeah. So it was actually kind of a better situation.
You give a college kid $510 on a Friday.
If it's quarter beers tonight, his whole fraternity is set. Yeah.
We hope to have him on in a little bit to see if he's still giddy from the entire thing.
You made a positive out of a lousy shot.
Wow.
Just a little bit.
Joey loves you. It's
unbelievable. That's just outrageous.
He just got caught up in the moment.
How close was that shot?
That was a little off the mark.
Is that the church lady or Jen?
That's who she sounds like. That's fantastic.
I like all of you laughing. Anybody want to get to the? Anybody want to come to the stripe? Anybody want to try a little half quarter?
No, I'm in.
Oh, Mike Jacobson could do it.
Spoken from the 31-year-old.
Mr. All Conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You did great. You went out there. You did really well.
Like, I'll see y'all on the golf course.
We should also say Steve Grzanich was there just because Dave forgot him. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Part of the reason you didn't see Grzanich is he was making regular runs to the concessions.
Yeah, I didn't mean to omit
so
Steve.
I got there first, and Mary came second. And then we saw Steve kind of walking.
I bet you he's got a snack in his hand. Just wait.
A snack?
And there
he
was.
Right.
And there he was.
Like a pizza roll or something.
No, it was like a pretzel. Pretzel.
But you know what he did?
He actually came in and he got the Northwestern sampler, one of each.
He was very sweet, though. I said, I'm going to go get a pretzel. And he had maybe about a half of a bite left of his wrapped up in a tissue. And he's like, you can have mine, the rest of mine. I went, I think I'm good.
Thanks again to Mike Polisky and everybody in the Northwestern Hospitality.
And then Mary was getting after the booze a little bit, too, at halftime.
Vandeveld?
Yeah.
What?
Chardonnay?
Oh, they poured like a drop in a glass. And, well, you didn't mention that Andrea had one, too.
Oh, no, I spilled mine.
Oh, come on.
I did.
It was free beer.
Well, yeah, it was good.
But they only gave me a drop. I mean,
probably should also mention that Northwestern won.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
And that close.
Oh, there was
shot,
that.
You buried
that
the lead.
That shot was so close.
That was a little off the mark.
How many times have you seen one go in this year? You said there was one a week ago.
Yeah, it was the Iowa game, I think.
75-year-old man.
Made it.
Was that your first one?
That may have been the only one I saw this year. Yeah. Well, at the end of practice, teams always take half-court shots.
I'm not talking about the players. Talking about citizens.
And coaches and managers.
I'm not talking about... Oh, you know what? All of you, come in and do a talk show for 4 hours, right? We all have strengths...
I have to ask you one thing. What did you leave in this voicemail you left for Northwestern? You called and they thought you were very nervous about this.
What?
Yeah.
Nervous? No. I've humiliated myself at Northwestern multiple times.
Oh, that's true.
In all likelihood, I'll do it again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean is live in Los Angeles. We'll get to him in just a moment. You'll let me know when he's on the line. Amongst things we have to talk about is the death of Mike Connors, star of Mannix. Were you a Mannix fan, Dave? When I was a little kid, I loved Mannix.
Yeah, I watched it. I don't. It was not one of my particular favorites, but I
loved it.
Enjoyed it.
And I think his assistant, his secretary, because that's what they were called then, was Peggy. I think it was Peggy, and it was kind of hip because she was African American, and it was way before its time. It was like 1970. They're going. Well, he depends on her, you know. I mean, she's on it. She's part of the team. And Mannix was his tough guy. Tough guy, private eye. Mike Connors is Maddox.
She's a modern woman?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if I went back and watched reruns, I'd go, wow, that show sucked. You know, when I was 10, it was a good show. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, at 8:11, while we try to find Dean, again, That Almost Happened is an opportunity for you to text me for prizes. We'll pick the best That Almost Happens by the end of the show at 10 and give you everything on the prize list. But That Almost Happened is something that actually almost happened for you.
Like you almost made the half-court shot.
Yeah, or you almost met somebody famous, or you almost, you know, got the big raise at work, or you almost had, you know, a thing with somebody at work, you know, whatever. Or it could be completely made up. Either one.
Those are sometimes.
Could you say like
312-981-7200?
Like you almost saw the Cubs make the World Series in 2003. Would that be that almost happened?
Yeah, I was there. You were there. Yeah, we were all there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sure. That almost happened.
That's a very unhappy one to bring up, actually.
Let's not bring that one up.
But don't you tend to forget about those things that almost happen? I try to forget about it.
I think human nature is actually the opposite. I think the ones that almost happen stick in your head.
Well, the ones that are really, really hard to fathom.
When people say, do you have any regrets? And you have to go back to, oh, I regret in college.
Regrets.
I should have done this, that, and the other.
I've had a few. Aww. Dean's live in Los Angeles. You want to give us your hotel location?
Yeah, Motel 6. I'm in room 3A, next to the ice machine.
And people say Tribune Media doesn't spend money on their talent. Come on, stop it.
As usual, I don't want to brag. I don't want to make anybody feel bad. But it's pretty nice in here. And, again, not want to brag, vibrating bed for if you have enough quarters.
That was actually my name when I danced, vibrating bed. Yeah. Hey, I heard famous Chicago rapper Chipped Beef was arrested last night in Los Angeles. Is that right?
I believe his name is Chief Keef.
Oh.
I think that's his name. He's the Chicago rapper. Pretty long history of arrests, but out here in Los Angeles, he's got a home in the Santa Barbara area. And he was arrested, according to our lovely sister station, KTLA, for armed robbery last night.
He's got plenty of money. Why would he do that?
I don't know. Apparently his one phone call that he could make last night was not to me.
Hmm. Maybe he's angry about everybody calling him Chipped Beef.
That could be. It could be. But sad that, you know, still on the trouble trail.
Yeah.
Which is the name of my new book, by the way, Trouble Trail.
Trouble Trail. We were talking right before we got you on the line about Mannix. I loved Mannix when I was a kid. You know, now that I think about it, I think my mother may have had a thing for Mike Connors. That may have been where it started because she was watching it.
My mom watched them all the time, too. I think that they did like the sexy private eye, Mike Connors, in real life, Joe Mannix. Mm-hmm. Was diagnosed with leukemia last week. Was 91 years old.
Had a great run.
Had a nice long run. Mannix was on from 1967 to 77. Did you think that it was on later than that? I thought that it ran.
No, that was about right.
A little more deeply into
I was watching it when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old.
I'm doing the math to see if I can figure out how old you are now that you said that.
55. Valerie Harper has spoken out about Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah, she hadn't said anything about Mary's death, which you know had gotten a lot of people worried that maybe her health was bad because she does tweet and post things on Facebook fairly regularly, or at least somebody on her account is doing all of that. But last night on Facebook, she wrote, last week to prepare me, I was kindly warned by Mary Tyler Moore's dear husband, Dr. Robert Levine, that she was in the very last stages of life. She said, I still cannot stop the emotions I'm experiencing since she was my acting colleague, my sister, soulmate, and above all, one hell of a girlfriend. Working together, we knew each other so well we could anticipate each other's moods, ever ready to engage and know that there would be an appropriate response from Mary. I will always feel privileged and honored with the amount of quality time I was able to spend with her. She says, I'll miss you, Mayor. I'll always be your co-pilot. I'll always love you, darling Mary Tyler Moore.
Wow. Well, that's a response, huh?
So sad.
Yeah, that is really a response. Really sweet.
Very sweet.
Super Bowl commercial previews are out. The Coen brothers have directed one, huh?
These guys have won, I'm trying to remember how many Academy Awards that they've won. It's been quite a few. And they are going to be directing a Super Bowl commercial. Though, if only I had that up on my screen right now to give you some details, that would really
be
great.
I bet it's a good one, Stahl. Probably one that's really memorable, Stahl.
Yeah, it's Mean Joe Green walking, and a kid gives him his beverage.
Right.
No.
And Mean Joe Green tosses him a jersey? I've never seen that.
That's a completely different concept. You know, oh, here it is. Wait, it's coming to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's a commercial for Mercedes-Benz. Mm. It's a 30-second tribute to the old movie Easy Rider. I'm saying right off the top of my head and
right.
not waiting for my computer to boot this up.
Of course you're not.
Hotel Wi-Fis are so slow. Steve, fans of the Coen brothers can look for their work on February 5th. And again, I'm not reading this. This is right off the top of my head.
Right.
It's a high-energy ad, a tribute to the 1969 film Easy Rider. The film star Peter Fonda and its famed soundtrack Born to Be Wild. That will debut during the fourth quarter of Super Bowl LI.
Lee, 51.
Again, that's right off the top of my head because I use Roman numerals in regular conversation all the time, as Steve knows.
He's always done that. All right, quick traffic from Mary, and then you're going to review a couple of movies, I'm told, A Dog's Purpose and Matthew McConaughey's new movie.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Rip. Entertainment editor, Channel 972. Top man, pro instead.
Back to Dean live in Los Angeles, and then a special guest on the phone in just a minute. But before we do that, let's do the movies. A Dog's Purpose?
A Dog's Purpose is a movie about dogs and
their purpose.
Dog's purpose is. What else do you want to know?
Have you not seen it?
No, I have. It's I like dog movies. This one it just is so manipulative. It's a story about sort of the soul of a little puppy that that grows up, and then you know anybody who has ever had a dog will tell you the saddest time of being a dog owner is when the dog. Gets old and passes away. Very tremendously sad to have a member of the family pass away. But this dog's essence keeps getting moved into different dogs as the years go on. So you kind of follow, you know, the internal dog into different variations of different dogs, different owners, and what the dog brings to different people's lives through the years. But also, you're going through all these dog, leaving their owners. So the movie is extremely intentionally sad, extremely, I thought, a little bit manipulative.
Remind you of all the times you've lost a dog? Because that seems counterproductive.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It does exactly remind you of that. And because, you know, there's sort of like little vignettes of you know, different slices of life, unlike a Marley and Me, unlike some of other dog movies where the inevitable does happen, you know, I just never felt like, you know, I really got to know the dog more before they wound up killing it. Now, a lot of people aren't even going to go see this movie because of that video that was released of the German Shepherd that was kind of forced into this water tank of raging waters when they were shooting the film. The producers of the film say the dog was not harmed in any way when they did that, but it's hard to watch this video of a guy really forcing a German Shepherd who clearly did not want to go in that water into the water. PETA and a lot of other animal groups and other people, I kind of felt the same way. It's like they could have gotten the dog into the water in a different way. And you see the shot that they were going for in this whole thing. But I was just a little disappointed in the film overall for its manipulative quality. I mean, seriously, all that was missing here was like, you know, Sarah McLachlan music to, you know, try to make you cry when you're
Was that Sarah McLachlan? Yeah. I don't remember.
Exactly.
What'd you give it?
You were very moving that way. I gave it a Dean's List C minus.
Matthew McConaughey in Gold, he said one of the best movie experiences of his life. How good's the movie?
I would have to disagree with him. I'm not about his experience, but as somebody who has watched Matthew McConaughey movies, I would have to disagree. He plays sort of this kind of crazy, pretty sleazy executive of a mining corporation that's on its last legs, mining, like digging for gold, digging for copper, going into places and setting up rigs to dig for precious metals that are in the ground. His company's about to go out of business. He tries one last attempt. Every penny that he has, maxing out every credit card that he has to go on one final gold strike. And what happens is a test for this guy who is unprepared for everything that's about to happen to him. That's a fairly interesting story of this this guy who is kind of a low life sleazy kind of guy, and what happens trying to make this last strike work. But what I found what overrode all of this for me was Matthew McConaughey shouting, screaming, the way that he lost weight for Dallas Buyers Club. He's put on weight for this one. So I was constantly distracted, really, at how kind of gross he looks, how greasy he looks. He's got these weird fake teeth in that I couldn't take my eyes off of that were so weird. And for some reason, there are so many scenes in this movie of Matthew McConaughey running around in his tidy whiteies that it's like clearly they made a decision. Let's put Matthew McConaughey in some tidy whiteies to run around. That was just, it's just weird.
Some sort of payoff for all the weight gain? He wanted to get every scene out of it?
I guess. I don't know if it was shock value, whatever. Let's put the fat guy in the tidy whiteies. It just was odd. And there's so many things that distracted me from the actual story of this movie. So I wound up not
What'd you give it
very much. I gave it a Dean's List D, I'm afraid.
All right, let's do it.
The Screen Actors Guild Awards are this weekend. These are the awards that are given by actors to actors.
I voted. Did you?
Not overall production. I did. Yeah, I did. What did you vote for? The big category is Best Film Ensemble. It's not overall movie making. This is just acting. The nominees are Moonlight, Fences, Manchester by the Sea, and Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, I think I won Fences. I'm pretty sure I won Fences. I voted a week ago, but I'm pretty sure I won Fences. Yeah.
I went Manchester by the Sea, even though it's a super sad movie. I thought the acting was absolutely amazing in that. For Best Actor, the nominees are Casey Affleck, Denzel Washington, Ryan Gosling, Andrew Garfield, Viggo Mortensen. I think La La Land is going to do well again this weekend. I went for Ryan Gosling for Best Actor.
Yeah, so I went Casey Affleck, but there's a backstory there that he's taken some serious heat while the voting's been going on about some bad behavior on previous movies, which may have hurt his chances. But he was great in Manchester by the Sea.
If it's voted on strictly by ability, he has a very good chance of doing it. Just La La Land's on fire right now. For Best Actress, it's Emma Stone from La La Land, Natalie Portman, Amy Adams, Meryl Streep, and Emily Blunt. I wonder if the actors will vote in Meryl Streep just to get her back on a stage to give another acceptance speech.
Well, that would amuse me. But I won Natalie Portman because I thought she was an exceptional, even though the movie is a little flawed. I think it's the best thing she's ever done.
It's one of the most amazing performances in Jackie, the movie about Jackie Kennedy dealing with the assassination of JFK. I agree. So that Sunday night, we'll have all the highlights of that.
You know, it'll be interesting, too, though, is to see if people who aren't old enough to remember, and, you know, it's not that, I mean, I wasn't old enough to experience it. I mean, it was, you know, 2.5 years old when he was killed, but certainly immersed in the history because you grow up in the 60s and 70s. I wonder if you're under the age of, 35,
if that movie would have the same impact on you. Maybe not.
Yeah. You know, whether Jackie Kennedy means anything or the assassination of JFK means anything. I mean, there's a certain amount of emotional baggage that people of a certain age have regarding her. I guess even sort of our age, you never really heard Jackie Kennedy speak that much.
No.
You know, you only had those images of the pink dress, the pillbox hat, the bloodstains all over her dress. But I think Natalie Portman's performance still transcends all of that.
I hope so.
There is all of that, but it's powerful to see how having your husband's skull be blown off right next to you, how that would affect a person and how they act.
Good enough to make you go off and marry Aristotle Onassis. Andrea, by the way, saw La La Land, and she's voting for it for every category.
I love it, Lee. Love it, Dean. Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it absolutely amazing?
It's such a beautiful movie.
That's why Dean and I finish our script for Tinley Park, it's going to be great.
Nice.
Andrea has a survey. We don't have time to do a complete justice here, but what's the headline?
I'll just read the headline for you, Dean. I thought you might end with it. I didn't want to usurp your entertainment report. Bald men more successful, intelligent, and masculine. That according to a new study out of the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that.
Yes, more dominant.
Who needs a study in Pennsylvania? We could have told you that long time.
What are the characteristics again? Intelligent?
Successful, intelligent, and masculine.
Yep. Yeah, that's all true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they meant sexy in there, but that's, you know, whatever.
That ain't true!
That's further down.
All right, buddy. All the best. Stay safe in Los Angeles. I don't know what that means. And we'll see you next week.
Sunday morning, replaying one of my radio interviews with the great Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah.
Well done. Thank you, sir. Dean Richards live in Los Angeles. Weston, the young man that won some money, regardless of how lame I may have been in my half-court shot last night, will join us from Northwestern prior to his 9 o'clock class. He's awake. We'll get Weston on in a few minutes, and the big story next on 720 WGN. Federer and Nadal for the Australian Open final, and the Williams sisters and the females.
It's like old times.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's a good start to 2017 for tennis.
Is. Yes, it is.
And Federer is, in tennis years, 87.
He is.
Isn't he about 33, 34 now?
He's 35. He's the oldest. He's the oldest player to get to a Grand Slam final since Ken Rosewall, who was 39 when he got to the final of the U.S. Open.
Maybe that's what I should do next, tennis.
We'll could try you. That.
We'll teach you.
You mean instead of like
teach me? I used to play tennis. I played tennis a lot.
Oh, you were really good at that.
I was okay.
We could play mixed doubles.
We could. Could we get a third person in? I don't want to move around that much.
You could play Dave's dad.
Actually, you know, there's... I don't like my chances.
That is awesome.
There's two boxes for doubles. Maybe we can make it four boxes and play quads.
Well, that'd probably be triples. But yeah, we can play
four
quads.
No, I'm saying four people.
Yeah.
On each side of the net.
I play tennis. I like tennis.
How about Canadian doubles?
I don't know how that works.
So yeah, it's one against two.
I'd be the two, right?
Well, I guess.
I used to play a lot of tennis, but that's when I could move laterally. Before my knees left me. Mm-hmm.
You could play the net.
Look, I'm 55. I'm lucky to be alive.
Venus is 36, just so in case you're all talking about Roger being
like
old.
Our age, yeah.
Venus is 36.
Yeah, she's Serena, 35.
Yeah, she's the oldest to get to a Grand Slam final in the Open era.
That's why I want to point out the girls.
I know
as
that
well.
Because that's she's told the story over and over again. I'm the oldest. I'm 36. Because she's tennis old.
I get to see them play against each other. I was telling Sandberg this in the Olympics in 2000. It was awesome to see them play each other.
Do they grunt the whole time?
No, they don't
grunt. Really?
They're not grunters?
They're going to be playing at 2:30 this morning, like Saturday morning at 2:30 a.m.
Are you going to stay up and watch it, or are you going to DVR
it? I want to. I think the whole house should. We have the kids this weekend. Everyone should get up and watch with me.
I think that's true. Yeah. If you're Venus Williams, honestly, and you're in the final before Serena, isn't there a moment where you go, oh, I hope the other chick beats her? You don't want to play Serena, do you?
Yeah, they say they don't like playing each other.
Yeah, come on.
I wouldn't either.
Bill Leff is in the women's final as well. I don't know how that works. There's only supposed to be two. The Leff supposedly is a great player. I have not seen him play.
Yeah, he and Carmen really go at it when they play each other.
Yeah, but I think Leff is the best tennis player on staff, which you get nothing for.
Carmen's pretty good, too, though.
So, you're listening to Random Thoughts on a Friday.
We saw Mark Carmen last night at the game.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He refused to talk to me after my shot. Speaking of that, Weston will join us in just a second. This is the young man who won a bunch of money. Well, not a bunch of money, but he won some.
Well, it kind of was a bunch of money.
Yeah. And college dollars. It's like tennis age.
Yeah.
College dollars big.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Today we're here with Steve Cochran from WGN Radio and Weston, who's a sophomore from the wild side here at Northwestern. Steve is going to shoot a half-court shot. If he makes it, Weston gets $10,000. So let's hear it for Steve. He's going to make this half-court shot whenever you're ready. We're ready. That was a little off the mark.
Go Cats.
I like how you hear the aw, and then she goes, that was a little off the mark.
You had the crowd on your side, though.
We got to get Weston on here because he's got to go to class. I don't want to miss his shot and then maybe get in trouble for being late to class. Weston, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
I just want to quickly apologize again for missing the half-court shot.
No, it's good.
It was good.
It was close. Well, 10 more feet and you would have had it.
I don't know where this 10-foot number is coming in. I want an official measurement.
Just accept it.
No, I'm not going to accept it. I refuse. 10 feet short means somewhere in the middle of the lane.
That was a little off the mark.
I'm not 10 feet short. I refuse to accept that. Weston, okay. What class is coming up at 9?
Well, I have electricity and magnetism, physics.
Yeah, no, you don't need to go to that. All right, so you didn't win $10,000 for tuition, but you did win $510. What do you plan on doing with the money?
Well, I could buy a book and a half, but I probably won't do that.
That's the markup now.
Why don't you use it to have some fun, man?
Yeah, that's my plan. Who needs books?
All right, you want to shoot hoop later, you and me?
Sure.
I think that means no.
Hey, Weston, I want to know, when you saw Steve and he was handling the ball, did you have any confidence that he was going to make the shot?
If he's been practicing. And he said, well, as far as you know, I have.
Yeah.
And my confidence was there slightly.
It was shattered.
Weston's being polite.
His confidence was shattered.
Your family listening in Michigan?
No, I don't believe so.
All right, terrific. So it's really been a great relationship you and I have had. Anybody want to say hi to?
I don't know. I actually don't think that I have anybody listening.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I do, yeah.
What's her name?
Also in Michigan. Kathy.
All right, so spend $500 on Kathy and keep 10 for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a plan.
All right, Weston, nice to meet you. Get to class.
Probably will happen.
Get to class. Yeah, even though you mocked me, get to class. All right, hold on.
He said he had some confidence.
Yeah, he
you.
Said you just.
You know what he said?
He said it was a good shot. Well, he didn't say that, but he inferred that.
We have a great relationship with Northwestern, and we're very proud to be partners with them, and they're terrific. And, you know, how big a fan I am of Jim Phillips, the athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted Jim last night, said, thanks for the hospitality, as always, just to show you that Jim was not exactly bowled over by my 7-foot. 3 to 7 foot short shot.
Yeah.
This is the text I got back. Steve, you're sensational. Really appreciate your amazing support. What a fun night with you in the house. Go Cats and WGN. It's one of those things where you go, gosh, isn't it great?
Did he use the word, I'm sorry, sensational?
Yeah.
Really
and
nice.
He said my participation ribbon's on the way.
By the way, don't take it to mean because Weston didn't have anybody listening. Don't take it to mean that he didn't have complete confidence in you.
He didn't want anyone to hear?
Maybe.
We are the number one talk show in Chicago, so understand that,
that's
okay?
Right.
Of course, there's rumors Oprah's coming back.
Oh, you just got nothing on you. Nothing.
Wintrust Community Bank sponsors the 8 o'clock hour. CLTV will join us in a second. The news is coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Credit card company's like, okay, you want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Seems pretty upset.
Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on. $20,000 to $30,000 with credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
It's so angry.
Now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
So what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
Well, that escalated quickly. It's 9-11. He's here. David Hochberg, always a pleasure to see you from Pearl Mortgage.
Good morning.
And you can call Hochberg at what number?
312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you could also go to WGNDavid.com.
So you had an idea you brought up to me, I don't know, a month or so ago,
yep,
which I thought was terrific. David is very committed to helping folks who need help and maybe get overlooked. And this is cool because it's sort of a contest.
Well, it can't call it a contest because then we get legal all
sort
wonky.
Of a contest.
And we're stressing sort of.
Yeah.
It is a podcast where everybody wins, Steve. It was made clear to me that everybody wins.
Listen, if we didn't have enough lawyers in the tower to worry, we wouldn't be anywhere.
Yes.
But explain how this non-contest works.
Yes, this non-contest winning thing works like this. We did it last year where we had the biggest winners type of event where people would call in and get help to enhance their credit so they can either refinance or purchase a home in
right.
the credit challenge.
Right,
over 350 people registered, and all 350 people got help. And in some way, shape, or form, we did about 100 loans where people were able to refinance or buy new homes because they didn't know where to go. So I took it one step further this year. I said, can we do it again and try to get WGN-TV involved? And then one more step further, let's do a podcast of at least 12 individuals, participants. Six people looking to refinance, six people looking to purchase who are severely credit challenged, don't know where to go to get help. I will personally work with 12 of them, but they have to agree to share their story on a podcast. We'll do a podcast every Thursday, and for 20 minutes, it'll be a quick in and out.
Sure.
And one person that's looking to refinance, one person looking to purchase, will have 8 to 10, 12 minutes, whatever. I'll do 4 minutes of what's going on locally in the real estate market, and they'll tell their story so people could follow along.
And learn.
And learn from other people's experiences. At WGN-TV, I went to my friends at WGN-TV, and they said, that sounds like a great idea. We want to be involved in this. So you might have a chance to be part of WGN-TV's 14 hours of newscasting that they have there, and they're looking for content.
It's
great. And it's under the guise of helping people get the information they need to put themselves in a better financial position going forward. That's all we're doing.
And showing people that they actually can, in many cases, refi or buy, even if they're in a credit death situation.
Yeah.
And if it really is the ultimate bad situation, how to get it fixed as quickly as possible.
Give them instructions and directions on where to go and create a roadmap to take them from point A to point B. Because we talk to people every day that are in 5%, 6%, 7% loans that don't know what to do. And then after a 4 or 5 or 6, depending upon how severely credit challenged they are, we put them on a program. And I took somebody, you know, one of your listeners, husband-wife team. I just recorded the spot yesterday. Husband and wife team. Wife was so severely damaged, we kind of put her on the shelf and we concentrated on the husband because we could enhance his credit over a four-month period of time. She's still working on hers. Got his credit scores up 60-some points in a four-month period of time, just putting in the techniques that we have to get it up. To get their credit up, I should say, with a gift from her parents and a $9,000 closing cost credit from the seller. They purchased a home at the end of last year, celebrated Christmas in their new home with their two kids. Very, very, very rewarding and successful story. 6 months after contacting me, we had them close in a new single-family house here in Chicago.
And if they hadn't done it that way and listened to what you had to say, they'd still be renting. That's right.
And just going around and around and around and around and around of merry-go-round of bad because not knowing what to do in order to get their credit enhanced. We put them into a simple technique that we use for a lot of people, and this guy's credit score, boom, shot up, and we got stuff removed. We gave him some good credit, and with his income and the mother-in-law's gift and the seller's closing cost credit, he had enough money to buy the home.
You know, Andre, I know you've worked with David Hochberg, so have I, but one of the things that I like that you do, look, let's be honest, he's nuts.
Yeah.
But the best kind, because he's completely honest. And this came up in the commercial I was talking about a little while ago, because I know somebody that saved $1,000 in closing costs. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because you don't need to tease them to come in and give them a line of BS and make some money on the tail end. You tell them the truth.
Well, listen.
And by the way, that's the good news and the bad news.
Well, sure. And when people call me, it's like, I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm not going to candy coat it, because I got four other people I got to call to tell them the same thing. are you ready? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, these are what you need to do. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, I'm going to put you with one of my experienced licensed, you know, loan originators that's going to take you from here to the finish line. But when it comes to closing costs, when your friend called me, you know, to compare closing costs, I'm like, okay, you know, send me what's called a loan estimate. He sent me the loan estimate, and I laid it out side by side. I didn't play any games on my life. I didn't play any games. And my closing costs were over $1,000 less than my competitor's closing cost. And he took my and he was already into the deal with the guy. You know, the rate was locked and all that
but
stuff.
But he took it back to the other guy.
He took it back to the other guy, and guess what happens? Lo and behold, miraculously, $1,000 of closing costs disappears. It would have been nice if the guy called me first.
Right.
Right? But now he knows. He thanked me for saving him $1,000. Sure. And I'm like, okay, you know, stakes at Morton's on you when you close.
Sure.
Okay.
That's
and
his line. Yeah. That's his line. Remember when I first refinanced with David.
You were nervous, Nelly.
That was the are you nuts? Because the comment.
4.875%. What do you think?
Yeah, it was
David?
Almost five. And he went, after saying, are you nuts? We went through the process. It was great. Then I wanted to refinance again because rates were way, way down again. And he said, you know what? Let's see what's best for you.
Yeah. But I think
it was
a
kinder, gentler, softer.
Yeah, but I think not pussyfooting around is a positive.
Oh, I agree.
Because if you sit down with somebody, and I know you do this, and frankly, probably not this nicely, but you sit down with somebody and you go, you're not a bad person.
Right.
You're just really bad at handling your money.
Right.
We need to get better at this. I'm going to show you how to do it. So this is not a personal attack.
Not at all.
This is a way for you to get what you want as quickly as possible.
It's human nature also, too, to say, should I do it? Should I not? You know, it's hard to make that final decision. Sometimes you need the little push to
You
do
overthink
it.
Things?
No. No, not I don't
do,
mean me.
Do you think I should refinance
Others.
My 4.8% loan? What are you, crazy? Of course we're going to refinance. I think that was the response. Like, are you nuts? Let's go.
Yeah.
Hold me.
Yeah. Here, I'll give you a perfect example, you know, because we used it in the past. John DeCoss, right?
Yeah,
the first time I met John, it took him 6-8 weeks to finally call me. He's like, I really need to talk to him. I'm like, okay. So, like, week after
His
week.
His credit rating was 4.
Well, it had a 4 in it, but it wasn't really good. And, you know, I'm like, are you going to call me? When are you going to call me? And then I got tired of asking him. So I'm like, hey, you know where to reach me. Calls me, comes to my office with his beautiful wife.
Yeah, Jackie.
I scared the living bejesus out of her because I'm just like, I thought we'd have to get the paddles and oxygen tank
well,
for her.
Well, many people have never met you.
Well, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think John's like, honey, it's okay. And, you know, he kept looking over. She's like pale white. I'm just like, listen, this is what you got to do. I had Clydesdales coming in, and I was using every analogy that I could get. And she's like, I like horses, but Clydesdales are really big. I go, exactly. And that's what's going to happen through your living room if you don't do what I tell you to do. And John's like, honey, he really means well. And guess what happened? A year later, over $2,000 a month savings. Credit score is up over 100 points. And they're in a much better position today. Because John's got such a stable job, you know, comedian.
As a comedian. Yeah,
as a comedian.
Yeah.
He doesn't get any more stable than that.
But I got an update for you that you're not aware of because they refied a second time with you guys.
That's
John
right.
John told me this week they are now saving almost $3,000 a month.
Really?
That's $35,000 a year.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
All right. So
don't hesitate.
We'll keep you up to date on the podcast, but what do people do now?
It's very simple. It's very, very simple. It's free. It's free. Everybody that sends me an email wins. Okay?
Okay,
it's not a contest.
No, it's not a contest.
So keep the attorneys upstairs on the seventh floor.
Stay in your offices.
That's right. Here's what you do: if you, your friends, your family, your kids in your basement, if you want them out, okay, and if you're stuck in 6-8% loans, 5-8% loans, and you want help, go to wgndavid.com.
Right.
Just click on email me. I just need you to email me your name and your phone number and the best time to reach you. Okay?
Sure.
And one of my guys will reach out to you. I will pick 12 participants, 6 people that want to refinance, 6 people that want to purchase. And I will work with them personally. But you have to agree to and sign a waiver to be on TV and to be part of the podcast.
Yeah.
And then we will, and you're going to be on once a week. We're going to do a study. We're going to do.
And then people can follow it.
A case study so your listeners could tune in and learn from other listeners on what they're doing. It'll be 3 podcasts. We're going to do it once every 6 weeks. So we're going to do 6 and 6 on a 6-week rotation.
Sure.
So after 18 weeks, we're going to have results. It's
when
like,
is
go
the
to,
first one going up? What's the plan?
The cutoff is February 10th. We're going to give people 2 weeks to send me emails because we want to open this up to as many people as possible.
Sure.
Everybody that sends me an email is a winner. It's called the Biggest Winners Podcast.
Not a contest.
podcast.
Yeah.
It's a podcast. And we're helping people enhance their credit so they could refinance or
so
purchase a home.
If you want to refi or you want to buy, again, where do they send it?
You go to WGNDavid.com.
Got it.
And you just send me an email. Name, phone
just
number.
Just contact info.
That's it. That's all I need.
Okay.
And I'll take care of it.
Okay, it's
and,
okay.
And if you want to refinance or purchase. and if you want to like me, Ross Cochran is here videotaping he's my new social media coordinator.
Guru.
And licensed mortgage originator, loan originator.
Yes.
And he's going to take all this stuff, and we're going to put all this on Facebook. And if you want to like me, because Ross says he's here, and he says it's good for me if you like me, so like me, because that's what people say. You know, back in the day, really didn't care if you liked me or not, but now I need to care.
Yes.
So you need to like me and follow me on Twitter, and we'll tweet or we'll do whatever with this stuff. And Ross will do all the stuff, and we'll educate people on how to enhance their credit.
Right. You want to plug where you can find him at all?
David Hochberg on Twitter and David Hochberg Pearl Mortgage.
Yeah.
It's a good thing
David Hochberg Pearl Mortgage on Facebook. David Hochberg on Twitter.
It's a good thing he's not doing Instagram yet.
Well, hang on. It's David Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. It's David Hochberg Pearl Mortgage. Did you just say that?
Yeah, he did, actually. No, okay. Feel free to jump in. We'll come back with Troy Murray in just a second on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Taken back by Carroll. Back in over the jet line. Right circle to Kane. Back to Carroll. Shoots. He scores! Tanner Carroll! A sweet pass from Kane that originated between the circles to Carroll near the right faceoff dot, and he flicked it past Hellebuck.
Brought to you by Chicago's own Nuveen. It's our friend Troy Murray. Troy and John, best play-by-play team and colored team in the business. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm just fine, but I figured it was appropriate going into the break to do a checkup from somebody who knows the game inside out. Do we need to be worried about our Blackhawks?
Are you calling? Who are you calling?
Well, we couldn't find the other guy, so I'm calling you.
I don't know. You know, obviously there's some concern. They're not finishing games this week, and not something that Joel Quenneville was real happy with. They were so good going into the third period for so long when holding the lead, but these last two games, they've let it slip away. And Quenneville was talking about back-to-back shifts, lapses at critical points of a hockey game, and they haven't been able to close the deal. And yeah, I guess maybe the best thing is right now is for these guys to just take a little bit of a breather here. They've played as many games. I think the only team in the league who's played more is the Winnipeg Jets. So they played a lot of hockey. Mentally, they're probably a little bit worn out at this point. So a couple of days here won't hurt them any worse than anything else, and just refresh their mind and get set for some tough games coming up here in February. Not many home games.
Troy, when you talk about lapses, there's been this troubling trend lately, and this is going back now, even before the last road trip, but it's been really evident here at home, where you give up a goal and then immediately you give up a second goal. Is there anything that you can pinpoint for why that's happening all of a sudden?
No, and it shouldn't be happening. I actually talked about yesterday going into the game as one of the keys to the games to eliminate that. If you know, the one thing that Quenneville wants, and it's kind of like the golden rules in hockey, let's say you score or the opposition scores. If you're the one who's scoring, you want to follow that up with a couple good shifts. Keep the momentum. And a lot of times when the Blackhawks have scored a goal this season, the opposition team has come right back within a minute or a minute and a half and you know, tied up the score. That's a big shift of the game. Last night, again, when Winnipeg scored the power play, early, it actually happened twice in the game, within a minute in the first period and then within a minute in the last period. When there was a little redirect there, it was kind of a harmless play, and Winnipeg tied up the game. You know, it's okay. That's going to happen. But you have to follow up that next shift with a big one. And whoever goes on the ice, whoever is playing in that next shift, has to understand that you have to reverse the momentum right then and there. And that's just something that this team shouldn't be concerned about, because they should have the guys that are inside the locker room that have the experience to know when you have to have a big shift. And they haven't been able to put that together. So that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of the building, but it also sucks the life out of the team when that happens. And the other thing I think that's interesting about this season, and I think Blackhawk fans can take heart in this, they're 4 points back of Minnesota in the division and still have one of the best records in the league, even though they've never gotten on a string
where the big three or the big four are all scoring at the same time. There's never been a stretch this year where Kane and Taves were hot at the same time, or Kane and Taves and Hossa. Conversely, there's been a real spreading out of the scoring where a lot of guys are on the score sheet who you wouldn't necessarily expect. But going into the last couple of months of the season, how great would it be if the big three or four got hot?
Well, it would be really good. And the good thing is Jonathan Taves is starting to pick up his offensive side of it. You know, he had that four-point night, backed it up with another goal and assist the next night. So some good things happen with Jonathan Taves right now. And everybody knows that, you know, throughout most of the season, up until here the last several weeks, that it was Anisimov, Panarin, and Patrick Kane who were, you know, stirring the drink. They've cooled off a little bit, and I think that that's just they've played a lot of hockey. And, you know, for them, just to step away a little bit and just get a little bit of a breather. They've got a couple games here on the road, and then they've got that bye week that the NHL instituted because of the changing of the format of the All-Star game last year. You know, these guys are going to have to all get on the same page. They're all going to have to be in a good position to finish off the season strong. And if you can get that consistency from your top players, get everybody involved offensively. It hasn't been the young kids that have been an issue. I think the young kids have been pretty good. And, you know, if you look at it, you're talking about it, Steve, you know, for Taves, struggles early on in the season offensively, it was all about the Anisimov line. And Taves has been better as of late. That Anisimov line has been quiet. If you can get all those guys firing, and I think they will, you know, at the stretch run of the season here, get everybody fired up and excited about going into the postseason, they'll be okay.
The bye week is so weird, but I suppose if you got a couple guys dinged up, it's good, but it's a momentum killer, isn't it?
Hey, well, it can be good or bad. If you're on a roll, you want to keep playing. If you're struggling a little bit, maybe the best thing is to get away from the game. You know, you look at the schedule, and because of the World Cup of Hockey that was played before the season started, the start of the season was pushed back about a week. You've got the All-Star break coming up here, which happens every year, basically. Then you've got this bye week. You condense all the games into a real short span of time. And I think that, you know, the players get tired and there's the travel involved and everything. You know, is it better to just spread out the games during the season, give yourself a little bit more flexibility between games, or have this five-day break, mandatory break that they're having now? You know, we'll see. This is the first year that it's happened. I'm not sure if it's good or bad yet, but for players that play a lot, like the Blackhawks' top lines and their top players, probably a good thing. It's coming up in a couple weeks. Everybody, because this weekend the four guys going to the All-Star game aren't going to get a break, and they got to do a lot of travel. So for them, it's not really the rest, even though it's not a strenuous thing, the All-Star game. But at the same time, I think in 5 or 2 weeks, when those 5 days come along, the Blackhawks are a team, because of the amount of hockey that they've played here in the last, you know, bunch of years, that it could be beneficial to them for the stretch run.
Troy Murray, this makes me feel better just talking to you. As predicted, the Hawks will not lose again the rest of the year. So that's tremendous.
You heard it here.
Yeah. All right, buddy, enjoy the road. You're going to see a lot of it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's good. It's nice to, for the guys to get away and get on the road and just kind of focus on hockey. There's a lot of distractions here in Chicago, and I know that they were disappointed they didn't close out these last two games. So get themselves ready for a whole dose of hockey on the road. A
couple of months till golf, too, so shine those clubs up.
Hey, yeah, and hopefully my knee's better this year so I can golf.
You use that as an excuse not to play with me a lot, but let's actually get them both going in the right direction.
Oh, I got a lot of excuses to not play with you.
All right, man. Be well. I'll see you later. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself. With a language we all understand.
9:46. Wow, odd time to hit puberty. Willie Geist. Before Bill and Wendy attempt, Frick Carol Debo's here. What can a great acting coach teach you about taking some of those techniques into business? That's what you're doing now?
That's what I'm doing.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to come back and you're going to save businesses all over the Midwest by telling them how to apply great acting technique.
All right.
All right. Am I putting pressure on you?
That's where we're going with this conversation.
Didn't you want to do that? Didn't you want to talk about that?
Perfect.
She's so agreeable.
Back in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. Willie Geist in a second. Carol Debo's here. What's the name of the business?
Actors Training Center.
ActorsTrainingCenter.com.
org.
ActorsTrainingCenter.org. Does training or center spelled funky? Is it C-E-N-T-E-R?
No, it's actually easy for you and everybody.
Center. Yeah, well, I'm not that bright. ActorsTrainingCenter.org. All right, so you got a kid in the business.
I got a couple kids in the business.
All right, so what are you teaching them about business?
So we're teaching them, I think our business model, which is very different from any other acting school, is that we are that conduit between training and then what you need to do to actually compete in the industry, right? So there's lots of places that teach acting and do it really well. But where there was a niche that I found was that there was no conduit between the training and what actually happens in the business. So we bring in casting directors from New York, from LA, agents from New York, LA, Chicago, and they're literally teaching you when you walk in that room, what's the best way to land that job? What's the best way to audition? Who's who in the world? As opposed to just having great acting skills, there's a whole other skill.
Yeah, because you can lose jobs without knowing how to act in the room before anybody makes a decision.
Right. And the moment you walk in that room, your audition actually starts.
Sure.
Are you a nice person that they want to spend time on set with?
Right.
How do you greet a casting director? How do you take a one-page audition sheet and make it with a beginning, middle, and end to really wow the casting director? And there's just a lot of those skills that aren't being taught, whether it's in regular acting schools, on the college level, headshots, resumes, all of that.
How about this for a coincidence? You worked with Maude Apatow this week?
I did.
All right. That's Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann's daughter,
yes.
One of their daughters. So they have three, I think?
They have three. Leslie Mann actually did Bling Ring with my client, Katie Chang.
Right.
They were in the movie together.
I love Leslie Mann.
Yes, she's lovely, lovely.
And I love Willie Geist. He's going to have Leslie Mann on Sunday Today this week.
There you go.
Willie, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Steve. I'm fascinated by the conversation for two reasons. Number one, Leslie Mann, as you mentioned, yes, she's on the show. We talk about that. But my daughter yesterday, she's in fourth grade, 9 years old, had the first audition of her life for a school play. So I should have talked to you before this interview, perhaps, before she went in. Willy Wonka went in for the part of Violet, had to be smacking her gum and talking in a southern accent for a girl from the Upper West Side of New York. So I think it went well. But I wish I'd had those tips before we went in.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to send you Carol's information because Carol's great. She's got kids working all over the country. Who knows? Your kid may be paying for you soon.
Yeah, you know, here's
I'm
the
hoping
thing.
So.
Here's the thing is that those kinds of experiences for kids are so important. They're vastly different from how the industry works, but they're incredibly important for confidence, for social reasons. They're really important. It's just very different.
To be able to stand up in front of a crowd and do anything. Is beneficial
exactly
in every aspect of your life.
Look, I always like to say no matter what happens to these kids that come to the training center, we've done them a service, right?
Sure.
We're teaching them to listen before you respond, to make sure you're working with the people around you, that it's not all about you. And it's important.
Hold on a second. Actors, it's not all about you?
Well, Steve, that's your philosophy.
Talking about.
That's what I told my daughter, though. I said, the fact that you were able to go into that room and stand in front of a bunch of strangers and do that, you've already won for
me. It's everything.
Whether or not you get the part.
It's everything. It's everything. And we always say to the actors that are training with us, you're great when you're in your shower or you're in your car and you're doing that copy and getting ready for the audition. The second you walk in that room, you dumb down by 25%.
Yeah.
The energy is funky and the stakes are high.
When I did a few of the incredible 1-, 2-, and 3-line parts in the 90s in a bunch of the different movies, one of them I got without doing the audition because I walked into the room. I made everybody laugh just being, a goofball. And I figured, I blew this. Went into the men's room. The director comes in. He's standing next to me at another urinal, by the way, just for accuracy's sake.
Thanks for the detail.
Yeah, and says, you want to be in the movie? I go, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you were likable.
Yeah, that's what you talk about.
It's not
wanting to spend time with somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's somebody you want to spend because when you're on a set for hours on end, it can be like watching paint dry.
Willie on Morning Joe this morning made great points as he always does about the overall Trumpism of America and where we go after this first week. But I don't know about you, Willie. I'm tired. I mean, this first week has made me tired. The dude's 70 years old. He runs like a chicken with his head cut off, a lot of times into walls. But I'm telling you, he's got an energy level that I can't identify with.
Well, he doesn't sleep, and he never has. I think he's truly up about 20 hours a day. So if it feels like a fire hose of information over the last week, it's because it has been. Can you believe it's only been a week since
That's
you and
crazy.
I talked on Inauguration Day? That feels like years ago.
Right.
But what we were talking about today in Morning Joe is, you can be exhausted and shocked by the speed that this stuff is coming at you, but don't be shocked and exhausted by what's coming at you, because it's almost point by point everything he laid out during his campaign. Right. So whether it's TPP or the, you know, renegotiating our deals with the UN or the wall or all these things that were chants and calls at every rally, well, here he is in his mind delivering on all his campaign promises. So you may not like it, but this is everything he said he was going
to
do.
And by the way, that is more positivity about Trump than Trump was able to get out this week, because he kept stepping in it and putting his own big foot in his mouth.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if there's a concern, I mean, the policy concerns are there, obviously, but a temperament concern is the general pettiness of getting mired and bogged down in a discussion about the size of the crowd at your inauguration, or the fact that you feel somehow people are trying to invalidate your presidency by saying you lost the popular vote. So you come up with a number, 3 to 5 million, which covers that difference in the popular vote of 3 million people. This is all personal stuff to him. He's not really worried about voter fraud, of course. He's worried that people don't think he was truly the victor in this election. So if he continues to get caught up in these little petty battles, it's going to be a long 4 years. And so far he has.
Well, long 4 years. It's been a long week. Leslie Mann, have you sat down with her yet? Are you taping it? When are you doing it?
Yeah. We talked a few days ago out in L.A.
Have you met her prior to that?
You know, I had never met her. I met Judd Apatow, her husband, but I never met Leslie, and she was everything you think she'd
great.
Be, as Carol can
great.
Tell you. She's just funny and smart, super interested in her own process. You know, she started as she said, I was a very serious actress and, you know, studied the Meisner technique and all these things, but it kind of fell into comedy because that was the first parts I got. Happened to be the big breakout roles on The Cable Guy, where Judd Apatow was a writer. That's the first time they met. And as she left the room, the story goes, from her audition, Judd turned to the other man in the room and said, there goes the future Mrs. Apatow.
Wow. I'll tell you, they've raised an amazing daughter. Grounded, sweet, no attitude, great kid.
That was 20 years ago.
It was funny. You know, she, Maude, her daughter, in the fall went to college. And the very mention of Maude's name in the interview, Leslie began to cry. She's like, I don't know what to do. She's not here anymore. And she was saying, well, I have to go pick up my daughter's I pick up my daughter. There's only one. And she started to cry again. You know, they're such a tight, cool family. And as you say, you never know. They seem down to earth. You don't know until you sit across a table from them for an hour.
Sure,
and
she's
really
crying,
is.
Because Maude is in the business now.
No, I don't think
why
so. I was with Maude for an hour and 45 minutes in the studio yesterday. We were laughing, carrying on. She's awesome.
And the emotion stuff is no different than when Joe Scarborough cries on a Friday because he won't see Willie until Monday. He gets very emotional. Sunday today, Leslie Mann's a guest this week. It's our friend Willie Geist. Great job as always, and I will talk to you later.
It was a pleasure, Steve. Take care.
Thanks. And give them the number again to get a hold of you, or do you want them to go straight to the website?
Well, they can go to the website, which is actorstrainingcenter.org. The number at the school is 847-251-8710. And we still have classes up. We have great workshops coming. We have another casting director coming in.
And I'm telling you, there's nobody better than Carol Debo. And I'm not just saying that because she's my friend. There really is nobody better.
The best.
And then, we'll talk more about your next trip back here when I do a different setup for the interview.